Well, good morning. I think we're right. We've been praying for rain for so long. Now, I never want to pray for the opposite, like you said, but moderation, perhaps? I don't know quite what our prayer should be. So, anyway, you should have a bulletin insert. Rachel's passing out. I have not done this before, but we're going to change topics for the next few weeks, and I'm hoping these will be helpful to you. Okay, so I would like to address some social issues. And so I do this with, let's just say I prayed for a lot of wisdom. So let's pray, and then we'll dive into our discussion this morning. Lord, thank you for your word and how it is the truth and how it guides us, and it is truth in so many ways. Truth of our relationship with you and the salvation that you've given. Truth in the way that we should live. Truth in the way of how a society functions. And so we ask, Lord, I ask, that you would keep us close to Scripture, to look at what it says, to take an honest look at the world around us. And Lord, give us the courage to speak truth in love, but to speak truth. And so Lord, I ask that you would send, your Spirit is here, I ask that he would work and do exactly what you have told that he would do. That he would guide us into truth, that he would help us to understand Scripture, and that we would be convicted in those areas in which we need. So Spirit, would you do those things? And we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're having a few technology issues this morning. I was going to show you a video of an interaction that Charlie Kirk had with an atheist. But I will kind of summarize it for you. He's at an event, and he's speaking to different people, and this young man comes up and says, I'm an atheist, and yet, you know, I don't believe in objective truth, but I understand you do. And so in this interaction, objective truth means truth as in ultimate right and wrong, that there is good and evil, right and wrong. Charlie Kirk asked him, do you believe that the Holocaust was evil? He says, no, I don't believe it's objectively evil, but did it hurt a lot of people? Yes. So do you believe that Hitler was evil? He goes, no, I don't believe that Hitler was evil, but he did some bad things. Okay? And Charlie Kirk says, there's the difference. That I believe that killing 6 million people is an evil act, and the person who did that was evil. So at least you're being an honest atheist, because an honest atheist cannot say there is objective right or wrong. You can't say something is right or wrong if you have no standard to put it against. Okay? And so what I would like to do this morning is to talk about the issue of truth. Is it objective? Is there a standard that's right and wrong? Or is it simply a matter of opinion? Okay. Now, social experts like to divide up time into smaller chunks. We do this all the time. We think of the age of the dinosaurs, we think of the age of people, we think of modernity, all sorts of different things. Okay. We've done that with the last 100 years, or 120 years. We do it by decade. The 1910s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, on up, right? 50s was rock and roll, 40s was World War II, 60s were just nuts, 70s were Nixon, 80s, they had good rock and roll in the 80s, 90 was, you know, we have these different categories, okay, that we break time into. We can think of it in generations. Baby boomers, some of you, maybe. 1946 to 1964, baby busters, who I get that, 1965 to 1980. Millennials, 81 to 96. Gen Z, 97 to 2012. And then one I didn't even know about, 2012 to current, are called Gen Alpha. Okay? But we can also separate time into how most people think. Okay? From 1900 to 1960, most people lived according to rational thought and logic. Okay? We call that period modernism. Okay, from 1960 to 2015, I would say, we saw the rise of relative truth, postmodernism. Okay? But I think in 2015, give or take, there was a change. Okay? And there was a change from postmodernism to what I'm going to call a post-truth culture. Okay? I think this is very, very important. Okay? This is the idea that there could be any truth at all. That idea itself is abhorrent. Okay? Postmodernism, there was still a little grace involved. Okay? What's right for you is okay for you. What's right for me is all right to me. We'll just agree to believe different things. There is a bit of grace there. Okay? With students at school or in youth group, this was the word I always heard. Whatever. I don't hear whatever anymore. No student has told me whatever in years. Okay? We've moved from whatever to you're wrong. Okay? I think we've switched. And I noticed this change when we came back from Rwanda, and it's taken me 10 years to this week to kind of get my head around what I was feeling. Okay? When we left in 2011, there was some anger in culture, but it wasn't extreme. When we came back in 2017, okay, Rachel and I both noticed something very, very quickly. Everybody was angry at something. There was more anger than we have ever felt when we came back to the States. Okay? Because the movement had changed. It was no longer whatever is right for you is whatever is right for me. Uh-uh. Now it's the issue of you're right, you're wrong. Okay? There is no truth at all. How dare you tell me what to do? Things like that. Okay? Every position now is defended. The accusation of a liar is commonplace. Discussion is non-existent. There is no discussion. Okay? To have a discussion of truth with somebody is almost impossible. Okay? At least in many contexts. Okay? And rage is becoming a normal response. This is a post-truth culture. Okay? The reason that truth is rejected is because with the claim of truth, one has a claim of authority. Okay? Currently, the one who in power is the one who has the truth. Okay? It used to be whoever has the truth generally has the say. That's not the case anymore. If truth doesn't exist, then the one in power isn't the one who has truth. The one who has authority is the one who has the biggest army, the biggest voice, the biggest mass. Okay? And authority steps into a truth vacuum. Okay? The strongest person, the largest majority, can define what's right and wrong according to their standard. Okay? Truth no longer decides who has authority. The authority itself defines truth for the masses. And the truth, the majority claims, is that there's no truth at all. Think about it. Who do you trust? Who do you trust to tell you the truth? I mentioned this at COVID a few weeks ago. Who had the right information on COVID? We don't know. The news, the politicians, the celebrities, we don't know who's telling the truth. We become very skeptical. And you know what? I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. Because we cannot tell who is telling the truth. Now, let's look at a scenario where there might not be any truth. Okay? When you go to El Dorado, we are confronted with truth claims. Okay? Wes is going to love this one. Okay? There are speed limits in El Dorado, right? Okay. That's coming from the cop's wife. Yes. Oh, I thought it was you. It's better if it was you. 35, 45, whatever. Those are objective limits. Okay? There is a yellow dotted line down the middle of the road. That is an objective, that's a rule. Okay? When you go to buy groceries, you have to pay for them. That is a rule. Okay? When you have an argument, if you resort to violence, there's generally consequences for that. Okay? There are rules all the time. Okay? Now, let's imagine that for a day, we suspend all rules in El Dorado. You can drive wherever you want to. You can drive whatever speed you want to. You can go take whatever you want to without paying. You get mad at somebody, or you just hit them. Somebody takes you off on the road, you're going to T-bone them. What world would that be like for a day? It'd be chaos. Could it actually work? No. No, it can't work. It would devolve into nothing. Okay? What type of person would seize power in that type of vacuum, in that type of situation? Evil, the one who has the most power, the most influence, right? But what I find fascinating is, once that person comes into power, what's he or she going to do? Make rules that defend their power. Because they know that in a society where there's no rules, they're in danger at all time. And so a world of chaos is not sustainable. Okay? It's not. That's why a dictator doesn't let chaos reign. He makes rules to protect his power. Okay? There has to be some truth. Now, God has made several different areas of truth. One is physical truth, scientific truth, right? Gravity. Is gravity true? Yes, the older we get, the more we understand how true gravity is. Okay? You can't just suspend gravity. Okay? You drop an apple, as happened to Isaac Newton, thank you. It happened to Isaac Newton. Gravity happens. You're going to make something, you're going to drop something, it's always going to fall. It's easier to fall down than it is to get back up. Okay? That's just the truth of science. Okay? The law of gravity is always true. Okay? Engineers, pilots, the passengers in the planes rely on physical stable truth to do their jobs. I think all people accept gravity exists. Okay, if you're not, well, then there's insanity, and insanity, the rules don't apply. But while people accept truth in the physical world, they refuse it in the moral and spiritual world. Okay, one reason I think they refuse it is because the consequences aren't as immediate. Okay, think about it. You're on a 10-story building. You jump off. What's going to happen? You're going to fall off, and are the consequences fairly immediate? Yes. Give yourself 3 or 4 seconds. You'll find out about the consequences. Okay. What's the consequence for living a life of adultery? Are they immediate or not? Not normally immediate. What happens if a person decides the gender I was born is not the gender I want to be? Are the consequences immediate? Not always. Okay? Sometimes it can be quite a while. But we know from Scripture, Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin are death. The consequences come. Okay? There are consequences to our actions. Okay? But in a post-truth world, where there is no truth, there is no standard of right and wrong, all sins are acceptable. Okay, and we see this more and more. Okay, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, okay, we'll accept it, because how dare anybody tell you that you're wrong? When Pilate was trying to discover who Jesus was, he asked Christ, "So, you're a king?" And Jesus answered him this. He said, "You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to him. Jesus makes it very clear, I have come to bear witness to the truth. What does Pilate respond? What is truth? And what's sad about that is this. With the source of truth standing right in front of him, the Roman ruler left without waiting for Jesus to answer him. He asked the question, what is truth? But he didn't even give time for Jesus to explain it. He just dismissed it. Now, I've made a bit of an argument that we no longer live in a postmodern world where what's right for you is fine, but in a post-truth world. But does that mean that truth doesn't exist? No. Okay? As believers in God the Father, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we emphatically proclaim there is a truth and he wants to be known. Okay? Because everybody else doesn't believe in truth does not mean that truth fails to be. Okay? There is truth. But a biblical understanding of truth isn't simply honesty. I mean, you think of telling the truth. That's part of truth. But it's so much more than that. It's a moral concept rooted in God's identity. Look at this. In Genesis 1:1, we read, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? We know that verse. We've known it for years. God has always been. So let me put it another way. There has never been a time when God ceased to be. He's eternal. And this kind of blows our mind because everything we know of has a beginning. So let me have you do what I do with my students. Close your eyes. Think of the instant when God created. Good, now go before that. Okay, good, now go before that. And go a million years before that. Brains hurt yet? Okay? You can open your eyes. The concept of eternity past is something we just blows our mind. Okay? But God has always been. He never had a beginning. When God says, in the beginning God created, that was the beginning of the world, not the beginning of eternity. God has always been. Okay? So he is eternal. Not only is God eternal, but he's also holy. He is without fault, set apart. That's what holiness means. When Isaiah saw the Lord and his angels, the angels cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Go 60 chapters later, Isaiah calls God the God of truth. Right? Titus chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that God cannot lie. David asked the Lord in Psalm 86, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So when Scripture talks about truth, it is referring to God having every part of his being united in integrity. It's more than what we think. Okay, it's more than this. It also is what we believe, what we feel, and what we do. Numbers 23, this great passage, says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Okay, the answer is no. He's never promised and failed to act. He's never promised and not carried it through. Why? Because everything he says is true. Everything he says will come to pass. He doesn't lie. There's no falsehood. There's no deception in him. God's laws and instructions outline the truth that is meant to lead people to him. Okay, David says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Jesus, the living, the incarnate, the Son of God, is truth. John 1:14, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the what? way, the truth, and the life. Okay, no one comes to the Father except by me. When Jesus says, I am the truth, he's making an exclusive claim. He says, I am the truth, everything else is not. Truth is found in God himself. If God is the only one who has always been, okay, if he is eternal, if he has created all that is, and if he is morally perfect in his character, if those three statements are true, then he is the standard for truth for his creation and has the authority to enforce it. Okay? If God has always been, if he created, and he's morally perfect, he is the standard of truth. Okay? And he has the authority. Okay? So if you will, in your Bibles, turn to John chapter 8. If you would, starting in verse 12. John chapter 8 is this really long conversation that Jesus has with the Pharisees. And it starts with, who is Jesus? And it eventually comes to truth. Okay, what is it? So starting in verse 12 of John chapter 8, okay, we see this. Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. But Jesus answered, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. I have much to say to you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare the word that I have heard from him. What we see here is a battle for truth. Jesus declares, I am the truth. And he came from God the Father, and the Father is the witness that Jesus is true, because he's saying the words the Father told him to say. The Pharisees, they're unwilling to accept these claims. Okay, they're unwilling to say, you're from God. No, you can't be. Okay? You don't come from the Father. So they dismiss his argument out of hand. Okay? The question is, why do they dismiss it? Okay, we'll look at that in a minute. But after this discussion with the Jews, okay, Jesus continues by speaking to his followers. And he says this, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, this comes back to what Andy says in Sunday school. It starts with our relationship with God. If we abide with God, okay, then the truth is in us and flows through us. Okay? If you abide in my word, which is the truth, you are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. And I think this is one of the most powerful truths about the truth. Okay? It sets people free. There are people around us in lie, bound up in lies. All sorts of lies. Okay. What does the truth do? It sheds light on that. It can break bondage. Okay. It can set people free. It does. It's done that throughout history. Okay. It destroys the lies of what we believe about ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Believing in Jesus Christ allows us to see ourselves and our world from God's perspective. So I want to give you a definition of truth. Okay? This comes from Arthur Holmes in Michigan, but also R.C. Sproul. And it's this. All truth is God's truth as seen from his perspective. Is there truth in chemistry? Yes. There's truth in physics. Okay? There's truth in all aspects of life. But people will say, okay, well, this is true. But is it seen from God's perspective? Okay. Where do we understand God's perspective? Scripture. Okay. And so the words that we have, the truths that we have in Scripture help us understand what truth is. And as we see that truth in life, we say, yes, this is true. Okay? All truth is God's truth as seen from his perspective. An object falling to the ground falls at what? Anybody know? Wow, that's impressive. 9.8 meters per second. Okay? It's going to do that. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just going to obey that physical law. Okay? That is just as true as God creating each person as distinct male and female at birth. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Because it's true. Jesus said it is. Therefore, it is the truth. He cannot lie. All of these statements are true. Why? Because all truth is God's truth as seen from his perspective. Whatever physical, moral, whatever is physical, moral, or spiritual, God is the source of all truth. Okay? That's important. Truth is whatever is in accordance with the way in which God created the world. Falsehood is anything that goes against God's reality. So then we come to the question, why then doesn't everyone believe the truth as God defines it? Okay? To understand that, we have to turn to Romans chapter 1. Okay? So Romans chapter 1, verse 18 in particular. We read this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and of righteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Notice what Paul says the ungodly and the unrighteous are doing. Okay? They are suppressing the truth. They're not eliminating it. Okay? Satan does not have the power to eliminate the truth of God. It's not in his ability. But those who follow him can hold it down by covering it with layer and layer of false beliefs. The truth is still there, it's just harder to find. Okay, suppression again is holding somebody down. Okay, or holding something down. Okay? Satan can't destroy the truth, but he can try to bury it. Okay? But why suppress it? Okay. Because the truth has authority, and authority demands obedience. Okay? If God says he's the truth, and his way is the truth, then he has the authority to say, you need to follow this. Okay? But if society claims there is no truth, then there isn't an obligation to do or not do anything. All sins become normal. Okay? And what do we value? Freedom. Freedom to do our own thing. Freedom under anybody's authority. We think that is freeing. But that definition of freedom is actually bondage. Okay? God says, here are the boundaries in which you are to live. Within this, you are free to experience life to its full. Okay? That's where freedom is. Okay? Freedom from sin. Garry Kasparov was a Russian chess grandmaster in the 70s and 80s, a brilliant, brilliant chess player. He once made a powerful statement that I think he made in the 80s. It's still very, very true today. It's on your sheet, but it's this. He says, the point of modern propaganda is not only to misinform or push an agenda, but to exhaust your critical thinking so that truth doesn't matter. The hope is that we lose our strength to fight. The short goal maybe is to win an argument, but there's a longer term goal here. And the longer term goal is to wear us down so that we no longer have the strength or the will to fight anymore. That's the biggest danger. Okay? I think that's very, very true. While all the current attacks against the Bible's view of truth may be targeted to winning an argument, there's this longer goal in mind. And the greater the masses that oppose the scripture, the more quickly our energy drains. Okay. But I want to say this, in spite of the consequences, in spite of the opposition, there is hope. Okay. Look at what Jesus says. Jesus says the truth will set us free. Freedom is energetic. Freedom is joy. Okay? God has given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. 2 Timothy, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We meet regularly, Hebrews says, to stir one another to love and good works, to encourage one another. Who gets picked off first in a fight? The guy that's out on his own. Okay? So we stay together. We help each other. We encourage each other. James tells us there's power in faithful prayers. Elijah prayed that he wasn't going to rain. It didn't rain. He prayed that it would rain. It did. And James says he was a man just like us. It wasn't anything special in Elijah. He prayed and it happened. We have access to the divine. We ask him for things. We pray. God answers. And is God limited? No. Okay? So our prayers can make a difference. We know that after the world turns from Jesus, the Lord will return. He will judge the world. He will set all things right, cast Satan into the lake of fire, and we, as believers in Jesus, will live in perfect glory with our Lord. Okay? There is hope. Okay? Yeah, I've talked about society and post-truth culture and all of this. Okay? That's reality. Okay? But the greater reality is God is true. He is living inside of us. He gives us power, gives us prayer. We know how the story ends. Okay? There is hope. So let us not lose hope. Are the challenges great? Yeah. But is our God greater? Absolutely. Will we be hated or despised for speaking the truth to a society that cares nothing for the truth? Yeah. So is Jesus. You know, all of our children, and us included, have scars, right? Look at your hands. You got any scars on your hands? Okay, think about wherever else you've got scars, right? Our family call them battle scars. Okay, either from something stupid we did or something that happened to us or whatever. But we got battle scars. Did they hurt at the time? Sure they did. Okay, the bigger the scar, probably the more it hurt. But what's interesting is, they don't hurt anymore, and now we go back and we say, hey, you see this scar? Yeah, let me tell you what happened here. Okay? Got a scar on my face right here. Ah, let me tell you what happened there. Okay? They turn from being painful to almost a sort of pride. It's like, yep, no, my scar is bigger than yours. Let me tell you this story. Okay? Those are battle scars. They were pain and tears at the time. Now we look back on them with a type of fondness and pride. What was painful becomes over time a source of pride. And you know what every scar says? Especially if we get scars from speaking the truth. Just says, I look a little more like Jesus because he was scarred when he went on the cross. That's why Paul says, with all my tribulations, I now identify with Christ. Battle scars aren't bad. Are they painful at the time? Heck yeah. But you know what? Maybe we should all want to look a little more like Jesus. Because he died with a very scarred face, rose in power, and he is the one who will set all things right. So if you have time, or not time, if you have opportunity this week to speak truth to someone, step out and do it. If you have time to share the gospel, step out and do it. This is for me as well as you. Okay? Let's get a battle scar for Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that there's been a lot here, and it's been a different sermon, but I pray that, Lord, as difficult as the challenges are, that you are greater still. Okay? These challenges compared to you are, they're so minor. And so, Lord, let us keep an eternal perspective, a godly perspective. As believers in you, we have your spirit living inside of us. A spirit not to fear, not to worry, not to shy back, but a spirit, Lord, that empowers, a spirit that will work, a spirit that will transform, will bring your kingdom to bear on the different circumstances we're in. Lord, let us get a scar for you, a scar from telling the truth, from being the truth. We give you thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.